I want to talk to you this morning about breakthroughs because I believe that God is preparing breakthroughs for us individually and for our families and for our congregation and for the Jewish people. And I want to read to you a text that helps me keep in mind that God works through breakthroughs. It's just one verse from Romans chapter 8, verse 28. It says, God causes all things to work together for good, for those who love Him, for those who are called according to His purpose. And I think many times when we're in the midst of difficulty, we have a different perspective and we're thinking that life is not working out, that the immediate difficulty that we're in or even the long-term difficulty that we have been in is going to go from bad to worse. And that causes us, I think, or contributes to us questioning God's help in His active concern in our lives, and yet the Scripture is telling us all things can be put under God's hand. Though there are two conditions or limitations, we can say you have to love Him. The universe does work differently for those who love God than it works for those who hate Him. And you have to be those who are called according to His purpose, and that means continually lining up His purpose into our lives. Rather than trying to compel God to fit into our goals and our purposes, we hear Him calling. We hear the Master calling. And He calls us and reveals to us His purposes, and He wants us to embrace those purposes and let that transform our sense of what is important, what is valuable. And when we're reading this morning's Torah portion, it becomes so clear to me that that is the way that God works, that God has purposes. He has things that He wants to accomplish. He has things He wants to do for individuals and even for the entire nation of Israel. And He has things that He wants to do for the world that do require that we go through a difficult place in order to get there. But when we're in the midst of difficulty and we're in the midst of challenge, it may not be to our liking. And because of that, we often have a response that is contrary to this statement in Romans 8:28. And we're actually believing that things don't work together for good. And that God does not have the ability, the interest, or the concern to cause things to work differently than that. And yet the reading this morning shows us how God has the big picture in mind and how He sets out to do things and how hard it is for us to agree with Him sometimes. You see, sometimes people are in the same difficult situation, but they look at it differently. But this is what I've noticed, and even last night when I broached the subject of breakthrough, several people came up to me afterwards, and they said it was as if I was speaking directly to their situation. And there was a reason for that, I understood, because when I was preparing for this weekend and for the next 3 weeks as we participate in the Daniel fast starting on Wednesday, I understood something about the Lord that He gives advance notice when people need a breakthrough. When you're in a situation and you need a breakthrough and you're seeking Him because you love Him and because you're called according to His purpose, He will tell you in advance the things that you need to know. He will make them understandable to you. People have different ways of reacting to their situations, but God knows how to guide us. God often gives us direction, what we need to do, how to get ready, and how to cooperate in the real situation that we're facing. Because sometimes we need to wait, for instance, and other times we need to act, and we need to act urgently. We can compare, for instance, Purim, where God told the children of Israel, stay in the land, and I will deliver you. And we can contrast that with Egypt, where God said to the children of Israel, leave, and I will be with you. And so there's not like one formula you can use for analyzing your situations that require breakthrough. You can't say, I'm always gonna need a Purim breakthrough, or I'm only interested in Passover breakthroughs. God is the God of breakthrough. Adonai Peretz, the God who breaks through. Adonai Peretzim, the God of breakthroughs. He is the one who is the master over breakthroughs. And often there are things he wants to give to you a certain way that you, if you don't get it that way, you won't get what you need. And so he knows, and he will prepare us, help us get ready. Let's look at Exodus 14, because this one is so clear to me, starting in verse 1. The Lord is wanting to activate faith in all of Israel. And so God gives advance notice what's about to happen. And he tells Moses to tell Israel, speak to the children of Israel, that they turn and camp in this specific place by the Red Sea, or the Sea of Reeds. And then he explains why in verse 3. Pharaoh will say about the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land. They're confused. They don't know where to go. And the wilderness has closed them in. And then in verse 4, the Lord says, and then I'll harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue the children of Israel. He will come after you. And I'm going to gain honor over Pharaoh and over all of his army, so that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. So God is saying, for the sake of Egypt, I'm going to do this. But it's not just for the sake of Egypt, which we have to see as we read on. But as soon as this word is given to Israel, it comes to pass. It's a prophetic word that announces what God wants to do. And you have been in situations like this, I think. Some of you, maybe many of you, have been in a situation where somehow the Holy Spirit comes to you and makes you aware of what's going to happen that you need to be prepared for. But then when it happens, we are just like the children of Israel. We go into shock. We react, and we forget what Romans 8:28 tries to teach us, that God causes all things to work together for good. And that does not mean that everything is good. It means that God can take anything and turn it around and use it for good on your behalf. So you don't have to go down into that dark cave where you can get lost, groping, like, why this, why that? Understand, it's all things, not every little thing. It's all things together. God will cause the sum total of everything in your life to be working together for good. The whole universe around you will work together for good. But as soon as the Egyptians came after the children of Israel, they were terrified, just like we would be. You see, God was trying to prepare Israel for a breakthrough, but Israel could only imagine a worse disaster. Just like you and me in times of pressure. Verse 10, when Pharaoh drew close, the children of Israel looked up, and the Egyptians now were chasing after them in orderly formation. And the children of Israel were terrified, and they cried out to the Lord. Good first response. Probably typical of our first response too. But look at the second response, verse 11. And then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? You see, second responses often reveal the things in us that can derail us or distract us or cause us to lose the breakthrough God is preparing. But you see, God already knows the weaknesses in our heart. And so it's not like he's offended when these things come up. He puts us in situations that reveal them so that he can bring us out of that condition. Do you hear what I'm saying? God will lead you into situations that are uncomfortable or even desperate, and it will open up what to you what's really in your heart. And you'll see it, and you'll say things that later you wish you never said. You'll do things that later you wish you had never done. Am I making sense? I'm trying to explain how life works with God and how this experience is so typical of our experience. And it's not that God says, oh, Israel, you have no faith. It's this. He says, Israel, I'm going to make strong faith in you. And I know what needs to come out and what needs to go into your hearts. And I know how to make you holy, how to separate you for my purposes. And I didn't bring you to the Sea of Reeds, the Red Sea, in order to destroy you, but to save you. Verse 11, they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, you've taken us away to die in the wilderness. And this is an example of how Jewish mothers have learned how to bestow guilt upon their children. It's like a practice session. And you can just hear that. There were no graves in Egypt? That's why you brought us here? But it really is a kind of blame. Why have you done this to us and brought us out of Egypt? And then I love this 12. This is the I told you so. Isn't this exactly what we told you in Egypt? Leave us alone. We'll serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we die here in the wilderness. These are the exact same people who were crying to God, send us a deliverer who will get us out of Egypt. And God sends Moses, and they're going, oh, thank you, God, thank you, God. Now, Moses is delivering them out of Egypt, and they're saying, we hate you. And this is why leaders have to be careful not to be overly dependent on the approval of those they're leading at all times. You understand why? It's not because of insensitivity. It's because there are situations where people are terrified. They're afraid, or they're having some kind of response to a negative situation. And you can't, as a leader, be absorbed in that emotion. You've got to get them through. It's not time for coddling or analysis or psychology or psychiatry. It's a time for leadership and victory. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's not time for Moses to meet with everybody. Well, how do you feel? He knows how they feel. It's not time to take a survey. You know, how do you feel about me? He already knows. It's a time to be a leader and to participate with God and bring people through. In fact, for most of us, it's easier to summon fear than courage. And it's actually rare that people have confidence in God, real trust and faith under pressure. And that's why it catches God's attention. Hundreds of thousands of people struggling in a normal human way with fear and terror and hopelessness and despair. And one man has the victory. That's enough for every man. And God takes note because it's not easy and it's not so common. And then Moses says to the people, one of those things that I think fits into the category of TBU. Maybe you've heard this term, true but useless. He says, do not be afraid. Have you ever spoken to a group of people who are terrified and you say, don't be afraid? I don't know, it doesn't work. You have a child run into your room, you know, crying because of a nightmare, and you say, well, don't be afraid. Ah! Yeah, it just doesn't help. Holding them close and giving them time to work through it does. And so he says the next thing, which is actually useful, stand still. You know, just stand still. Don't do anything. And you'll see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. You see, Moses understands God has a plan for the breakthrough. You don't have to do anything except be quiet before the Lord. Don't let your angst and your anxiety drive you into action. It's a time to be quiet. Because the Egyptians you see today, you'll never see again, never ever see again. The Lord is going to fight for you and you'll hold your peace. Now I want you to understand this principle of breakthroughs, that there's no one pattern to situations that require breakthroughs. So there's no one plan for those situations. In this case, God is going to do all the fighting. But there's another case which is quite familiar where Moses is instructed to keep his hands lifted up in the air before the Lord while Israel actually engages in military battle. And as long as Moses' hands are up in the air, there's a victory. And so those who are closest to Moses, Aaron and Hur, they take a position of support so that Moses will keep his hands in the air. Because whenever he grew weak and they fell, Israel began to fall in battle. And so there's no hard, fast rule. When do you stand still and when do you fight? But there is a principle, and that is God will direct those who are willing to be directed. And I want to prepare you to be one of those people. Well, it turned out that Israel was trapped. There was nowhere for her to go, and God was using that. And then he sent that mighty wind, as you know. And he told Moses, after the Lord had sent a wind that blew all night and divided the Red Sea, he had told Israel to go forward through that land, which was now dry, to the other side. And Israel goes through with faith in God and gets to the other side, and Pharaoh's armies come after, and God allows the walls of water to come collapsing down on the Egyptians. And it says in verse 28 that not so much as one of the Egyptian charioteers, the horsemen of the army of Pharaoh, remained. The children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the seabed, and the waters had been a wall to them on the right hand and on their left hand. And that's how it says in verse 30, the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. And verse 31, Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done. And so the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Now we begin to see something. It's an important question to ask. Whenever you're in a situation that requires a breakthrough, it's this. You've got to say, what can I get from this situation that requires that I go through this situation? In other words, there's meaning even in the difficulty. There's meaning even in being trapped. There's meaning even in running out of hope, because God is causing all things to work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And so we see one of the meanings. This is something that Israel had, Israel got from this situation. Her fear was replaced with the fear of the Lord. You see, at first they were terrified of the Egyptians, but in verse 31 it says, and then the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. You see, sometimes you can't teach people out of a situation or a condition. You can only lead them through through events and circumstances that God uses to equip. Sometimes you can't persuade. And sometimes people can't just change their mind. They have to lose something in order to gain the other thing. Sometimes we have to let go of what we're holding on to. But we won't until an event that requires a breakthrough from God has had an impact on our lives. We won't let go of fear as a basic human response to difficulty, until God puts us in a situation where we can't even hold on to the fear anymore as hard as we have, because we see that God just did a victory while we were terrified. And we are uncontrollably throwing our hands up in the air and worshiping God. And we don't know how it happened. But it was because fear of disaster was replaced with fear of the Lord. There are times, and this was one of them, where Israel needed a major change. Every child of Israel needed a replacement of masters. Pharaoh and the Egyptians had been their master, and the Lord was saying, I will be your master. Whose voice are you going to listen to? Who are you going to be afraid of? Who do you think actually rules the overarching plan for your life? Me or Pharaoh? And just getting out of Egypt is not enough to see that. There's got to be another demonstration of authority. And it says, now they feared the Lord. You see how that works? They couldn't learn it another way. And then there's a third replacement that Israel got, and that was a replacement of expectation. Because some people, many people, most people find it easier to expect disaster in times of difficulty rather than victory. And we have to learn to seek the Lord for victory. And that's why I want to conclude by looking at three specific things that we can do that will take us in the wrong direction and that will cause us to miss the breakthrough rather than getting the breakthrough. And they really have to do with things that the children of Israel said to Moses. The first one is when we say, leave us alone. When people are afraid, they often go into isolation. And they don't want to hear anything from anyone. Not only from the Lord, but from anybody who can tell them, it's going to work out. There's stuff we have to do, but it's going to work out. And people often switch into the blame game. You're to blame. Didn't we tell you? Why didn't you leave us alone? So if you're tempted to go into that isolation and to say, leave me alone, just leave me alone, let me tell you, don't give in to that, because that can cause you to be left alone. And you may be the only one who misses the breakthrough. The second thing is the statement, it would have been better to stay where we were. It's this false nostalgia for the way things were before, forgetting what it was actually like back then and back there. It was slavery in Egypt. Children were being stolen by the Egyptians and killed. Little babies were being taken and just destroyed. There was no freedom to serve God. Life was a total sorrow. People forget. They selectively remember and they yearn for a past that didn't even exist, that they hated, that they wanted to get out of. They yearn for a past that did not exist. And it's because they're lost in fear. And they can only imagine that the situation right now is going to produce a totally bad outcome. And what do we do? Instead of saying, we should have gone back, we should. It would be better if we had never made these changes. They should say, Lord, renew our minds. Renew our minds. You see, it's the same kind of temptation like Eve, Chava was facing when the tempter said, did God really say? It's a distortion that's playing on half-truths. But it's missing the whole point. And it's a seduction that will lead us into destruction. The third thing is when they said it would be better to go back. And this represents simply giving up in the face of fear. And imagine if Israel had actually given in and said, we surrender. Give up. We surrender, everybody. Can you imagine, just because the army is behind you and near, all of Israel says, surrender, we give up, take us back. The whole future would have been lost. God's whole plan for this world would have been overturned. And if you give in and surrender simply in the face of hardship and fear, you're defeated by fear, not by the actual situation, but by fear of how the situation will turn out. And it's necessary, if you want your victory, to stand up and to endure and to say, God, you cause all things to work together for good for those who love you. I know I'm in this situation and you're wanting to bring me through it. And you will guide me. And whatever I need to get from this situation, whatever I need to learn, whatever I need to change in my life so I can go forward, that is what I'm ready to embrace. Things I wouldn't listen to before, I'm ready to hear. And that's what it means when Yeshua says, the one who stands firm and endures to the end will be saved. The one who gives up will be defeated. And it's with that attitude that Jewish people, even in the Holocaust, were able to go into the gas chambers and say, Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. A declaration of the faithfulness of God. God, I have nothing to hope for except you. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. And a declaration that God rules even the afterlife, not just this life. On Wednesday, we begin 21 days of fasting and prayer, our annual Daniel fast, and it's dedicated to personal and congregational breakthroughs. And we want breakthroughs from long-standing hindrances and difficulties that have tried to defeat us and have tried to stop us from fulfilling the will of God. And we want victory over anything that threatens our well-being and our future. And we're fasting for a fresh new season of our congregational ministry and our personal ministry on behalf of the Jewish people of Jacksonville. And I want to encourage you, participate in any way you can. Don't compare yourself to another person. Some people are going to use the Daniel fast for a strict vegetarian diet like Daniel did. Others will cut back on their evil foods and double up on fresh fruits and vegetables and things like that, eating more beans and rice and less red meat. That's always good for you. Some people can fast in limited ways because of physical or personal medical needs or bodily functions. There's no one way to fast correctly. There are many ways to do it. My instruction to you is read Daniel 10, see what he did. And then take things to heart. Don't be overly ambitious. Don't promise God you're going to do this one thing that you know you've never done before and can't do. And then on the second day when you fail, you give up and you lose the other 19 days because of that. Just try a little bit. If you've never given up TV for a week and you feel led to, try to give up TV for 2 days. And after you're successful, add another 2 days. And if you can keep going, go until the end of the week. You see what I'm saying? But don't beat yourself up if you're trying sincerely to do something and you're not able to do it. Just get back on the horse and try again. But try to fast in some way that makes sense to you, that reflects a giving up of some pleasure and at the same time is a declaration to God, I don't have enough power for the situation I'm in. And I humble myself before you because it's your power I need, not mine right now. Which is the great purpose of fasting and prayer. And I believe as we're praying for breakthroughs, we've got a handout for you. And as I said earlier, we have an email that covers this. Send us your email if you didn't receive one from us, and we'll make sure you get these types of useful communications from us. But join with us because God is wanting to make a breakthrough for you. And you might have said, well, I've tried to get a breakthrough before. Exactly. Exactly. I don't know about you, but I'm going to get one. I'm going to get some breakthroughs that I've needed. I'm not giving up until I win. And then I'll look back and say, it was worth it. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you that you don't give up on us, and we're not going to give up on life. And we understand that there are things you want to do for us that require that we persevere, that we have tenacity, that we are people of savlanut, of perseverance and endurance. And so we say, Lord, have your way. And guide us, each of us, according to our own situation, and lead us into the victory and the breakthrough that you are preparing for us. And we don't want to give up, especially, Lord, I pray for those who feel like giving up because they don't even know that an answer has already been sent from heaven and is on the way. And help them, like Daniel, to hold on until the absolute answer and victory is in front of them. I pray in Yeshua's name. Amen. Let's close with Aaron's blessing. No one stand alone, even if you came by yourself. Let it be that all of us are together. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ye'er Adonai panavelecha v'hunecha, Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasemlecha shalom. The Lord bless you, and the Lord protect you and keep guard over you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord favor you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his shalom as you prepare for his breakthrough. In the name of Yeshua, amen.